Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But now thus says the Lord, He created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. My dear friends in Christ, I got to be honest, it is complicated, confusing, controversial, and yes, uncomfortable. I'm talking about those things we typically address on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You see, it's complicated because we talk about such things as stem cell research, cloning, in vitro fertilization, and genetic engineering. It seems that we need a scientist to figure it all out. But aside from being complicated, it's also confusing. Should we or should we not remove that feeding tube? Stop that treatment? Sign a living will? Or initiate a do not resuscitate order? It seems like you need a professor of ethics to figure it all out. It's also controversial. Because the reality is, why do we talk about these things in church and Bible study? Pastor, aren't these political and social issues that have no business in the church? Why don't you just preach the gospel and leave it at that? It seems as if we need a theologian to get to the bottom of it. But of all things, it's uncomfortable. Members of our congregation that sit in the pew where you're at, perhaps even yourself, have had an abortion or pressured a girlfriend or a daughter to have an abortion, or you are unable to stop someone who is having an abortion. It affects so many lives. It seems like we need a psychiatrist to get it all put together. But wait a minute. And it's all true. The life issues we face today are certainly complicated, confusing, controversial, and uncomfortable. In fact, each year when I see this date appear on the calendar, I start kind of going through my mind thinking, I say, who will I offend this year? But I have good news for you today. This morning, I'm not going to talk about any of those things at all. The sermon's not about abortion or feeding tubes, and it's certainly not about in vitro fertilization or do not resuscitate orders. I'm not going to address any of that stuff at all. I'm going to go right to the hardcore and center of it all and answer one simple question. What has God done that gives value to human life? The answer is found in the prophet Isaiah with three simple words: created, redeemed, called. Look at each of these, not as scientists, not as professors of ethics, not as theologians, and certainly not as psychiatrists, but as people of God who have been called by the gospel and live and move and have our being grounded in Christ and the forgiveness that He died to give. So here goes. What has God done that gives value to human life? Number one, every human life has value because God created every human life. Job said these words, "Your hands fashioned and made me." In the psalmist, we hear these words, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, if we were clothing items, on the back of the neck, there would be a little tag that doesn't say fruit of the loom, but it would say made by God. Every single one of us. made by God, individually, distinctly unique from one another, all the way down to our fingerprints. God has made every single one of us. Some may interrupt now and say something like this, but Pastor, so if every human being is a work of God's hands, how do you explain Down syndrome? How do you explain the other multitude of diseases and disabilities that children get in the womb? How do you explain it if we are God's creation? Is God an imperfect creator? Well, I hesitate saying that because I want to keep this sermon very simple. But here's a simple answer to that question. Every life is a work of God's hand. And God has a couple of questions to ask you and me. Through the pen of Isaiah, we hear these words: do you question me about my children? Or give me orders about the works of my hands? And again, Isaiah writes, shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can a pot say to the potter, you know nothing? Anyone want to challenge God about the human lives that He forms? God made tiny human beings from the very moment of conception. But we're reminded from the Psalms that surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You see, what God has created perfect, sin has utterly twisted and destroyed. Since sinfulness is a human condition, and since we are human from the very moment of conception, it goes without saying that sin even tears at the fabric of the very young. Well, since we are sinful from the very moment of conception, there's one thing I can say without any uncertainty at all. You and I need a Savior. Oh, and praise be to God that He gives us one. Remember what the angel said to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How often we read that text during the Christmas season. But note there are two events in the life of Jesus. One, conception. The other is birth. And the miracle occurs at the very moment of conception. It's miraculous. For the angel tells Mary that the power of the Most High will overshadow her. And the one that would be formed in her womb would be the Son of God. This Son of God is also the embryo God. And that Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The God-man. Jesus' holiness at the very moment of conception takes the place of all of our unholiness, all of our sin, all of our unrighteousness, and it gives you and me value. But wait, there's still more. You see, the reality is that Jesus needed to develop in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He needed feet to walk upon. He needed hands to touch and to heal the sick. He needed a mouth to teach and preach and declare the good news. He needed a heart of compassion that would overwhelm him to reach out to the lost and the disenfranchised and those in the world who saw no value in themselves. And he needed a body to take up into his arms the little children as they were brought to him. But wait, there's even a deeper reason why Jesus Christ needed to have human development in the womb of His mother. He needed those hands. to be pierced for our transgression. For all the times when we don't speak up for life, for all the times we don't even see value in ourselves or those around us, Jesus Christ was pierced. Those hands. He also needed the mouth to declare from the cross the words that change everything for you and me. The words are simply, "It is finished." He needed a heart. He had a heart that would pump that blood through his body that would be shed and poured out upon the cross of Calvary for all of our sins. And a heart that would be stilled in death. He needed a body to be buried in the tomb and on that Easter morning to rise again to new life that would literally change everything for us. The Apostle Paul says that we were bought at a price. All that Jesus did from His conception onward is a part of the price that was paid for you and for me. The Apostle Paul tells the pastors and the Ephesian pastors, be shepherds of the church of God which He bought with His own blood. Jesus bought you back. See, Jesus gives you and me value. Remember, this price is paid for us and for every human being. Jesus Christ died once and for all. Not every human being knows this. Not everyone knows that they have been redeemed. But God has called His church to proclaim that good news to the very end of the earth so that others may know that they too have value. So I guess it's really pretty simple when you go to answer the question, what has God done that gives life, that gives value to human life? Number one, He's created it. Dear friends, you are valuable because of who you are. Created by God Himself. Number two, that every human life that has been created has also been redeemed. Jesus Christ died upon the cross to forgive the sins of all mankind. And there's one simple answer left. Every human life that has value, that has been redeemed by Christ Himself, is a life that God desires. God wants to save and wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, God wants every life to be splashed with the water of holy baptism. He wants every life to hear the good news of salvation that's proclaimed through the words of holy absolution. He wants every life to be fed and nourished by the sacrament of the altar. He wants every life to know that they are His, bought at a price. A new creation. So if we've been created, we've been redeemed, and we've been called by God, it's not really all that complicated now, is it? No matter what life issue you face, in fact, I'll give you a quiz. Why do we strive so hard to protect tiny embryos in a petri dish or frozen in a fertility clinic? Why? Because they are created, they are redeemed, and they are little ones whom God wants to call. Why do we speak up for those in the womb who cannot speak for themselves? Because they have been created, they have been redeemed, they are little ones whom God wants to call. Why do we teach little children so that when they get older, sexual promiscuity and abortion will be unthinkable for them? Because they are very special to God, because they have been created, they have been redeemed, and they have been called. What do we tell the young people as they struggle with temptations and tough choices in life, with mood swings and confusion over their own sexual identity? We want them to know that they have been created by God, so that they can make good choices and know that they have been redeemed and God so desperately wants to call them. What do we share with the unmarried yet pregnant college freshman who is ashamed and afraid and sees only one way out? We share with her that she is loved, that she is forgiven, and that she is not forsaken because she too is created, redeemed, and called by God. What do we say to the woman or the man crushed in the aftermath of an abortion decision? We tell them that they are created and redeemed and called by God, and that nothing can separate them from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do we say with a couple that is infertile and desperately desiring a child? We tell them that they are created, redeemed, and called by God, and that they can trust in the ways and the will of a Father who loves them desperately. What do we say with those who have a miscarriage of a child that they already know and love? We tell them too that they have been created, they have been redeemed and called, and that God holds them in His hand. What do we share with a frail elderly person who wondered how and what God's purpose is for them in their lives? You know what I tell them? You are created, you're redeemed, and you are called by God, and He gives life, meaning, and purpose no matter how old you are. Well, how can we help a family struggling with the difficult end-of-life decisions of a loved one? They love their loved one who is created and redeemed and called by God. And they can make a decision they believe is in accordance with God's will and trust Him through it all. You know, undoubtedly, as you go through this list, man, there could be 50 more things on it. And quite honestly, over the last 18 years, I've seen too many of them. But the bottom line of it is, if you keep in mind that God has created every human life, no matter how old or young that God has created it, that Jesus Christ came in the world to suffer and die to redeem every single one of them, and ultimately that He wants all of them to be with Him at the end of the age. This morning I have good news for you that you have been created by God, everyone unique and loved by Him. You have been redeemed at the price of Jesus' blood. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And God has certainly called you through the water of your baptism, made you holy and righteous in His sight, that changes everything about us. So Sanctity of Human Life Sunday really isn't all that complicated at all, is it? For we are loved by Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Receive our offerings unto the Lord.